very much for that. That made really good sense in many ways. I've never really thought about it too much, but I kind of had, I guess, kind of a common sense proposition. Do you think maybe a son of God is maybe used simply so that we could just understand better his relationship with God?
Yes, actually I do. In fact, you know, again, depending on how you interpret son, there is indeed a physical element to that. You know, a father loves his son. A father, you know, gives characteristics to his son through birth. Same is true with Jesus. In fact, you know, we find, you know, Jesus talking about the love of God and he and his father being one. So yes, I believe that's right.
The scripture concerning this day and how I've begotten thee. What are your thoughts on the idea that that was a reference to his resurrection?
Yeah.
Because it does indicate a particular,
right,
this day I have begotten thee.
Right, right.
And my understanding, looking up that particular word, it does indicate more than just being born, but to revive, in a sense, to rejuvenate.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I'm trying to think back, because there's a particular term for what's going on there. But I don't believe it refers, personally, I don't believe it refers at this point to the resurrection. Somebody's going to have to help me with this, because it's been too long since I've looked that up. That's in Corinthians, is it not? Is that the passage you're talking about is in Corinthians?
I thought it
was Hebrews. Yeah, well, yes, but that passage is quoted more than once.
Right. So, because it was, I consider it, it would seem that since it was originally quoted in the Old Testament, it would be a prophecy, and therefore looking forward into the New Testament when it's repeated, it seems to be showing a fulfillment of what was already intended to be. So, and that was the way, you know, why I was wondering whether or not it was just showing what would be the resurrection in the future, and then in the New Testament showing this was the resurrection.
I'll have to think about that. I don't know.
Ben Benet.
That was excellent, Mike. I like your kind of middle of the road proposition there. It makes a lot of sense. But I just want to hear what you have to say, your thoughts on, in Daniel 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fourth man in the fire being called the Son of God. Yeah. What do you say about that?
Well, I think most agree that that probably is more of the son of the gods, the idea of not being the second person of the Godhead, but just to this pagan king, some sort of a deified figure. And that's the way I've interpreted that, or that's the way I've looked at it, but maybe somebody who has more experience than Daniel, you know, would have a different view.
Questions. Roger Boone.
Thank you, Mike. I just had a question, maybe just a little bit off track, but it struck me at the very beginning. I believe, it's been a long time since I've read the NIV on this stuff, but I believe that in John 3:16, the NIV says, instead of the only begotten, the one and only Son. It's like they've taken a position that focuses on that uniqueness,
right,
part,
right,
to the exclusion, I don't know, maybe, of other parts. Do you think that causes us any problems, that translation of that word? Or?
Well, I'd have to look at it, but it looks to me like that is a viable nuance of the word. I mean, you know, only begotten, you know, the idea of uniqueness. And how does the NIV say it again?
I think it just says, instead of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only
Son. One and only Son.
At the time, I think there was controversy about that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a semantic thing or if that's, you know, that's something deeper. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't think of a problem with that right now, that translation for that particular verse, but maybe there is.
From my understanding, the word, the Greek word there, monogenous, is used in Hebrews 11:17. It speaks of Isaac as Abraham's son, even though Isaac at the time wasn't his only son, nor his oldest son. But I was wondering if you could comment maybe on that, but also how this relates to Philippians chapter 2, where he speaks of equality and so forth.
Well, obviously, as a human, Jesus humbled himself by coming to begin with, and humbled himself under the will of the Father. But he still possessed, of course, all of the prerogatives and all of the characteristics and qualities and inherent of deity. So it looks to me like Philippians 2 is speaking of his incarnational submission. Obviously, at least it seems to me, if he is deity, there cannot be any quality in eternity past.
All right. Sometimes I'm not sure.
It's been a long day.
Any more questions?
Just one follow up on what you said there. If just to emphasize that for those who may take the incarnational view, it's not to diminish the deity of Christ in any way. If you may comment on that, the respect that gives Christ as deity, regardless of the position that you may hold.
The incarnational view focuses more on the title, or more on the name, not his inherent eternal qualities. So, in fact, again, sometimes when you're, at least with me, sometimes when you're discussing this, it almost seems like a academic argument. Because you wonder what's practically going on here. Sometimes nothing, but
so. I'd like to hear your comment on Romans 1:3-4.
Romans 1:3-4. Okay, according to the Son of... we'll just read it here. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Those are the passages, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not sure exactly your specific question, although it looks to me like what he's speaking of here, first of all, is the lineage of Christ. Again, we discussed that the other evening. Coming from David, but the real power, along with miracles and other things, of the proof of his divinity was the resurrection of the dead. They said the resurrection is the capstone of the arch of Christianity. Without the resurrection, everything else kind of falls.
Kind of separates it there, according to the flesh.
Yeah. According to the flesh. Physically, the line of David. Spiritually, raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. Very good.